We'll look at the tape.
It's intentional grounding.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hope.
I'm filing.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
One last time in Season 2 of Intentional Grounding. The 2016 season's over. Adam Hogue, Adam Johns here with you. Episode 77, The Galloping Ghost, Red Grange episode.
Have you ever been out to Wheaton to see Red Grange Field?
No. Is it cool?
Yeah. Wheaton South's football team plays there. State power, although I think they've had some down years there, but
I think that's Herb Lawrence's team.
Herb, he's from Wheaton?
I think he's a Wheaton South guy. He's always, whatever school he is from or went to, he's always, he's still a diehard fan.
That's okay.
And is
the only team in terms of football that really gets, makes me feel heartbreak or anger or any emotion or happiness are the Notre Dame Dons.
Yeah, that's pretty sad. I can't say the same thing about St. Ignatius College Prep, because when I was there, we didn't have a football team.
You do now.
We do now.
You have a nice field behind the
building. Oh, they built a beautiful field while I was there. We got to use it my senior year. But, yeah, they did the whole thing. It's got a great backdrop with the city.
Oh, yeah. I've been there.
It's a great place. I don't think the football program, I want to say they made the playoffs once or twice, though.
It's good.
It takes a while
welcome,
to build.
Welcome back.
We're a basketball school. Basketball school.
I think Notre Dame's made it 9 out of 10 years or something like that, but welcome back to football.
Yeah. Well, in our case, we're wrapping up football. The Bears held their post-mortem press conferences at Hallis Hall on Wednesday. We're recording this Thursday morning, as we kind of really put to bed this entire season. And basically, this episode is just going to be us reacting to what happened at Hallis Hall. These are always significant days, especially after bad seasons. And I didn't think there were going to be major changes announced. Some people did. I did not. Yesterday went exactly how I thought it would. And so we're basically just going to take you through those comments that were made and wrap up Season 2 of Intentional Grounding. It's been fun. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S, and the podcast at INT Grounding Pod, WGNRadio.com/Bears, and ChicagoSunTimes.com is where you can read us, and we have plenty of content up from Hallis Hall yesterday. As we heard from the general manager, Ryan Pace, the head coach, John Fox, and chairman, George McCaskey, who responded to, I think, all of our interview requests and decided to meet with the media. I'll toss it over to you, Adam.
Yep.
What did you think was the biggest headline from Hallis Hall yesterday?
The biggest headline, well, to me, it's the how they're going to address the quarterback situation. Everything's on the table, trade, player on their own team, draft. It's the most important decision this offseason. And look, I wasn't looking. The coordinators thing, I expect that they're intact. Vic Fangio and Dal Loggins are coming back. They addressed the rumors. They addressed the injuries. So a lot of it was expected. And the quarterback situation was going to be discussed. But I think it's, look, Ryan Pace and John Fox were coming back for the third season. They got to get the most important position on their team in order. They didn't have that in order this year because of injuries. They played three quarterbacks because of injuries. They have to find some continuity there in some aspect, whether that's Jay Cutler for one more year and drafting a guy, whether it's trading for Jimmy Garoppolo. But to me, that's my biggest takeaway, because that's the biggest thing on the Bears' agenda this offseason.
Yeah, and I thought that Ryan Pace was, look, you got to set the tone for how your message is going to be portrayed during the offseason. They could have sort of avoided the quarterback question and kept it open-ended with Jay Cutler. What they did was they came out very strongly by saying, everything's on the table. We're going to look at the draft. We're going to look at free agency. nothing is promised to Jay Cutler. That's exactly what it should be. That's exactly how it should be. And Ryan said that he met with Jay Cutler, among other players. He did a lot of meetings on Monday with the key players. But Jay was one of those guys, and he said he had a very candid, transparent conversation with Jay. And basically, the end of that conversation was, there's a chance you're not on the team.
Yep.
And we'll let you know what our decision is. And you'll be the first person to know. Your agent, Bus Cook, will be the first person to know when we make that decision. I don't think that's going to be decided quickly. I spelled it out the other day in a column I wrote on the quarterback situation. I think it's, quite frankly, reckless if the Bears just go, okay, bye, Jay, we're cutting you. That doesn't make sense, really, unless you get to the point, and I'm talking August, maybe week one of next season, as they're preparing for their first game, where they just decide that they don't want to pay him all the money and there's no one that is willing to take Jay. Until then, try to trade him. Be patient. See if there's anything you can get for him, because as I've laid out multiple times, while his contract is $15 million next year with all the roster bonuses week by week throughout the season, you put that in the grand context of the NFL and the quarterback situations and other teams who are desperate, I still believe there's a team that's going to be willing to take him.
I don't know if I would say that. I do agree with you. The money is not overly prohibitive to the Bears or anyone. Even the Bears are, what did Pace say? They're top five in salary cap space, and that's already counting Cutler's money on the books. It's not a hindrance by any means. I get both sides of the Jay Cutler argument. I really do. I see him as a possible bridge quarterback because he's a better teammate than people will ever give him credit for. And, yep. And he's okay in handling a young quarterback next to him, even if it is the number three overall pick. I think he can handle that situation fine. I think he would like one more season to redeem himself. But I also understand the argument of this, to call it Jay fatigue like we have before. It's just the town, it's the city, it's the team.
But how does that help you from a football perspective? That's a PR perspective.
I get what you're saying.
If there's fatigue in your locker room, if there's guys in that locker room that are sick of him, if there's guys, you know, elsewhere in the organization that are just sick of him, then maybe. But I don't see how just getting rid of him just because the fan base is fatigued, I don't see how that helps you from a football perspective.
There's something that hangs over Hal Saul with the Jay Cutler. He's been there for 8 years. He's now the longest tenured player on your team. Mm-hmm. This is a team that has moved on from a Matt Forte, a team that has moved on from a Robbie Gould. Stalwarts of this team. And I think Jay Cutler is part of that mix. He just plays a position that's more important than running back and kicker. So it's a harder decision to make, especially when you don't have answers.
But Forte was a contract decision. You're not going to pay a 30-year-old running back $9 million guaranteed. I get that.
But here's the thing, too. Can you pay a quarterback to do what Jay Cutler delivered for you this year for less money? The answer is yes.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with that.
Yes.
Yes.
The answer is yes. Brian Hoyer can do what Jay Cutler did this year. I know, look, I think Jay Cutler could have won a couple football games here just because he's the better talent. But he still had a lot of turnovers. He was still sacked considerably more than Brian Hoyer and Matt Barkley were in their runs as Bears starters. So for the money, you could probably find another stopgap quarterback who could deliver similar football for less money than you would pay Jay Cutler.
I agree, but the money isn't really an issue. I mean, it's not like they're up against the cap.
I know, but you're still...
It's the owner's money. It's the owner's cash. And when you heard George McCaskey say how much he loves Jay Cutler.
But you could use that. I know it's the money's not an issue for the Bears, but you still want to have a sound salary cap thing.
Yeah, well, they're not going to go crazy. I don't think...
I think they might.
I don't think they're... I still think Ryan Pace is going to stick to not going huge on that first wave of free agents. Now, maybe there's one. Maybe there's one corner out there.
Safety from Kansas City.
Maybe. Maybe that's the one exception they finally make. But I the one thing I think that Ryan has done really well the last couple of years is be patient in free agency, not overspend during that first wave, wait for that second wave. Guys that aren't making incredible amounts. Because if you look at the Bears' contracts right now, Jay's the only one that's getting double figures. Kyle Long is the next highest paid Bear. Then I think you go to Lamar Houston, who wasn't even paid by Ryan Pace. So he's managed to bring in affordable contracts because free agency, and that was part of the message yesterday, especially from George, of all people. Free agency is not the way to win. It's a way to supplement good decisions that have already been made through the draft. And that's why this thing is taking 3 years, probably going to take 4 years, maybe five, because they're sticking to this plan, which in my opinion is a smart plan. I understand why everyone's frustrated with the losses, but if you're going to do this plan, there's no way you can win in a season where you had this many injuries. It's just not possible.
I think it's reached a point in this plan. Yes, you're still going to build through the draft, but you're at a point where you have some young core pieces, at least for your defense. We could get back to the quarterback thing in a little bit. You got a Leonard Floyd. You got a Nick Kukowski. You got maybe a DeAndre Hall. You got some young defensive linemen getting into the mix here. You like what you got with Danny Trevathan and Jarrell Freeman if they're on the field or not suspended or whatever. To the point where you have another draft class, but you probably need to supplement your defense with another proven veteran who can make some plays in that secondary. Because, look, they spent draft picks on safeties and cornerbacks. Adrian Amos, Deion Bush, DeAndre Houston Carson, who barely played.
Yeah, none of them are working.
Harold Jones Quarty. You know, it's a long-standing problem. Why not finally go spend some money and go get yourself a proven veteran playmaker who is still relatively young? I know Eric Berry, he's like, what, 28 years old? I'm not saying him.
They did try that with Antrell Roll.
Oh, but that was I've always viewed him as a stopgap.
Right. Well, Eric Berry's 28. He just turned 28. So he's still probably on the right side of, but he's getting pretty close to the point where he's only going to go downhill. Okay. And that guy's pretty maxed out. He's a phenomenal player.
Yep.
I would agree that that is a spot where if there's a guy like that, especially in the secondary, who, and I would say a corner too, that they feel like they can spend a lot of money on to get a quick fix. That's fine. And maybe that's the one exception. But I would still say, I mean, give me an example, and this is hard to do off the top of your head, I know, but I'd like to see an example, and maybe our listeners can shoot some to me on Twitter if they can think of any. What's an example of a guy the last 2 years that the Bears refused to pay a ton of money for that could have helped this team?
Oh, you'd have to.
There's not that many out.
My point is most of those
guys don't work out anyway. And you look at the two guys the Bears have. The first guys the Bears signed the last 2 years, Pernell McPhee. Looks like a good player. I understand why he spent the money. But he's been hampered by a knee injury.
Yeah, but that money is not major. I think it's time to spend major money.
But I'm talking about the outcome of those two players.
Yeah.
Pernell McPhee, knee issue. Then you went after Danny Trevathan last year. Knee issue.
Yeah.
Now, guys,
that's bad.
It's bad luck, but he also had a history of knee problems. Yeah. So the point is, even the guys that the Bears have been careful about to not give a ton of money to, their highest profile free agents, we're going into another offseason where Trevathan might end up on PUP. Who knows what Pernell McPhee is going to be next year? They say he's getting stronger. Now he's got the shoulder he's got to deal with. The point there is, even the guys you haven't spent a ton of money on, it's a good lesson to learn from free agency.
I would say don't underestimate the importance of this year three, the rebuild. This was always projected as the show-me year. Didn't John Fox use that reference, show-me state or something like that?
Yeah, I didn't do what does the Fox say today, but that would have been a good one.
So this is the show-me year for the Bears.
What was he talking?
Wins, I think.
I spent a year in Missouri. Show me
state. I thought of Nelly. Doesn't Nelly use that in a rap song?
I don't know.
Anyway, this is the show me year.
I'm not a Nelly expert.
Of the rebuild. Oh, I love Nelly in college. Anyway, in high school, I should say. This is the show me year where you can't have. Look, I know the injuries. They don't want to use an excuse, but they're such a great excuse because it's a legitimate reality excuse, right? All your best players are hurt. But year three was always meant to be the year where the young players emerge. They become the core players. This is when the wins start to mount. Yes, they still need a lot of things all over the place. Yes, they got a lot of questions this offseason. But they got to win some football games. Vic Fangio ain't going to be here forever. John Fox isn't going to be here forever. This isn't like a 5 or 6 year rebuild. This is a 3 or 4 year rebuild. They need some wins. They need some better players. And I know free agency isn't the way to build your team.
It's a way to supplement your team.
Yes, yes. So go supplement it at least this year when you need to have better results after a 3-13 season and find yourself a player who could help you produce more than 11 takeaways on your defense.
I agree with you that this is setting up as a year where maybe they dive into that pool a little bit more.
I'm not saying go crazy and be the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, that's what I still don't think they're going to be crazy. Yeah. I mean, think about – look, George says he doesn't meddle with football operations. And I think, you know, for 95% of that, it's true. But still, as a chairman of a football team, there are going to be certain times where the GM has to come to you and ask, hey, do I have this clearance? Can I do this?
Well, you're Ray McDonald types, right?
Right, exactly. So, I mean, that's just part of the job. That's and what I'm saying is, I want to make it clear, that's not meddling. That's just George doing his job when it gets to that point. But one of the most significant things I thought George McCaskey said yesterday was what he was saying about Ryan Pace and free agency. He said that he told Ryan that you should be criticized every year for not going crazy in free agency because that's not how you build the team. So I think that when the owner's still saying that, that's a pretty good indication that they're not going to go out in March and show up with what year am I trying to think of? Was that the Julius Peppers year when they also had like Brandon Manumaleuna up there and Chester Taylor?
Was that the same year?
I forget.
Around the same time.
I just remember there being like a huge press conference. There was like 3 free agents and it was a ton of money that was spent.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think that's going to be happening. Maybe there's one. And I think for the most part, if you bring Eric Berry in and hold a press conference in March, it'll be a lot of excited fans.
Oh, it'll be a lot of people happy. I mean, that's such a long story.
Might even be some tickets that are sold.
Look, I don't know if Adrian Amos is going to be a year 3 starter. I don't know if Harold Jones-Cordy is going to be a year 3 starter. I don't know if Deion Bush is going to be a year 3 starter. DeAndre Houston Carson is definitely not a year 3 starter of the rebuild, year 2 for some of those
guys. He might
not
be on the team next year.
And so you got to find a solution in your secondary. They're going to spend money in free agency in their secondary, just a matter of how much and who. Because, yes, it's a deep class for cornerbacks. Yes, it's a deep class for safeties. But there's no guarantee who's going to be available by the time your pick comes up. You have to give yourself some flexibility and at least have an answer or two by the time the draft starts, and that starts with free agency and spending some money.
All right, a couple other things I want to hit on before we get out of here. Let's talk about the coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
Dow Loggins is coming back.
No problem with it.
Vic Fangio is coming back. That doesn't surprise me at all. I think Loggins coming back surprises some people. Let's start with Fangio. Pace and Fox didn't exactly deny that there was some friction at some point. They said that it's a healthy relationship. Anytime you got 2 defensive coaches like that with offices next to each other, there's going to be disagreements. That happens. I'm sure there's disagreements with Dow Loggins this year too. Any healthy relationship, you're going to have conversations like that. I think that they pretty much shot down, though, the report that was out there that any kind of friction was to the point where they were considering firing Vic Fangio or Fangio wanted to leave. So I think they did a good enough job that at least I believe that it never got to that point.
Look, I work with 2 other guys at the Sun-Times on this beat, Patrick VanLee and Mark Potash. I sit right between them. So we're right next door, just like John Fox and Vic Fangio are. We argue every single day.
I know. I can't get any work done because you and Potsy are just going after it.
It's look, friction is it's almost a loose term in sports media or how you want to describe what goes on in locker rooms and stuff like that, or House Hall or sports franchises. There's always going to be some level of friction with players, with scouts. scouting in general is a bunch of opinions. So, of course, there's going to be debates and arguments and stuff like that. So, look, you're right. It never reached a point where it was completely unproductive. They got along. Vic Fangio is so valuable to what they're trying to do at Halas Hall. Even if it got to the point where you're thinking about making changes, you have to just come to your senses and be like, what are we doing? He's a great coach.
Exactly.
You got to make this work. So this is a big year for him. Vic Fangio needs to, I think his defense ended on a very sour note. Now he needs better players. So that's one reason why I think Vic Fangio will try to make a push for spending some money in free agency. And I think in a way Ryan Pace should reward him for that, for having him field the Jonathan Bankses of the world. So I wasn't surprised how it played out. Now, how do you feel about the Dal Lagans thing? Because you asked Pace and Vox about that.
I did, and maybe this is surprises people, or maybe it's controversial. I think Dal Lagans should be back. I absolutely, if you fire a 36-year-old offensive coordinator after one season when he had three different quarterbacks, four if you go to the preseason, injuries all over the field, his top wide receiver suspended for four games, three essentially rookie running backs, you know, young running backs out there that they're trying to mix in, one who turned out to be pretty good. I get the frustration with the play calling at times and not running the football. And I think
it's such an easy, there's so much into it.
Let me take that a step forward. I liked how Hub Arkish went after John Fox yesterday for that, because just saying you're behind isn't a good enough excuse. When you're that high in yards per carry and that low in rushing attempts, there's a disconnect there. And it's not just because you were trailing the whole time. And I've been very clear. I think that is the one fair criticism of Dal Lagans this year. But if you get past that, there were no problems with
Jordan Howard ran for 1,300 yards.
Well, that's my point. There was no problems with the design of the offense. Think about all the years we've had where you're going, what is this offense? You know, or this doesn't fit Jay Cutler or whatever. You know, Mike Tice is out there calling plays. Dal Lagans there were no issues there. I thought many times, including Sunday against the Vikings, the way the Bears came out, that was a very creative, well-executed game plan. This guy is 36 years old. He's a promising young assistant that can continue to get better. Anybody who's that young, you're hoping to get growth. There's a lot that Dal can learn from year one going into year two with the idea that he's going to have a healthier team. I think it's absolutely the right decision to bring Dal Lagans back. Firing a guy that young with all the problems that they had that weren't Dal's fault would not be fair to him. So I absolutely think John Fox made the right call there. I don't know that he did the best job in explaining it, although he did say that he did not think design or playing calling were the problems, and for the most part, I agree with him.
You see, I think he should have come. He deserves to be back. I thought, given the circumstances going from Cutler to Hoyer to Cutler to Barkley, the way he handled the quarterback situation was quite impressive. Now, I know Matt Barkley did not finish on a strong note, but he became better than everybody thought Matt Barkley was a couple of years ago. He resurrected Matt Barkley's career. Matt Barkley should give Dal Lagans a bonus, a big tip for saving his career, you know? And look, Brian Hoyer was completing 70% of his passes. I know he wasn't going downfield a lot, but 70% of his passes is still a pretty impressive clip. And he wasn't sacked much.
Zero interceptions.
Zero interceptions. Not too shabby, especially you know when he doesn't have Eddie Royal out there or Kevin White out there, and he's got some mixing matching up front in his offensive line. Lagans, I think, became an easy scapegoat for people in the media and for people, especially fans. He just became too easy. Who didn't want to fully evaluate what he was working with? Look, I get the concerns over running the football. I do. Maybe Jordan Howard should have at least 20 touches every single game. But when they're loading the box with 7, 8, 9 players, not even keeping a safety deep, and your quarterback runs up there with a pass-run option, what's his first check? I got to pass the ball. They got eight guys in the box. Now, I know you're throwing to a Josh Bellamy or Deontay Thompson and Cam Meredith, so it doesn't always work out well. But any quarterback, you don't want to limit him and say, just run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. You want to give him some freedom at the line of scrimmage. So when he sees a safety drop down and be outside the tight end, they're loading up the box to stop your star rookie, you got to be able to throw the ball. Just look at the Lions game. They loaded that box to no end to stop Jordan Howard. It's just, I get it. You need to trust your quarterbacks too. Just saying the Bears have to run the ball more seems too simplistic of an answer for a lot of people.
All right, past the coordinators. Dave Magazoo, offensive line coach, fired. Sam Garns, assistant DBs coach, fired. And then Stan Drayton, who by all accounts has been a pretty good assistant for them. I think the running backs like him. He moves on to Texas.
Well, he got a big job there.
Yeah, but he's also going from the NFL to college.
He's also the associate head coach of Texas.
That's pretty good.
It's not a bad job.
So he worked with Tom Herman at Ohio State. That's the connection there. Tom Herman, now the head coach at Texas. So everything's bigger in Texas, right? So that's, you know, good for him.
Oh, I'm sure he got a sizable, promotion and paycheck.
Okay, Magazoo's the headline here.
Yeah.
Brad Biggs with a report in the Chicago Tribune that he was not popular among the offensive linemen.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting.
Especially because he's been with Fox since 2003 in Carolina. Longtime Fox guy.
Yeah. I think a forgotten part of evaluations for coaching staffs in all sports is that the players actually grade the coaches, and those go to the head coach in the front office.
Yeah, I have a theory here. Can I interject?
Yeah, go.
A lot of times there's questioning about who's in charge, Fox or Pace. I think that was also one of the sub-headlines yesterday. It's very clear Pace is still the guy.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think that's ever been in doubt for you and me, but I understand why you got the youngest GM in football and his longtime head coach, why there could be some doubt there. I wonder, and this is just me speculating, I wonder if that's one of those situations where Pace and Fox sit down on Monday and go, hey Fox, John, I know this is a long time assistant years, but from the information I'm gathering from your players, there's some friction here, and I think that it would be best if we go in a different direction.
Well even the Garns move too. Mm-hmm. You know, he focused on the safeties. Safeties were awful.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest.
They were.
I mean, it's...
Which is also partly on Pace, because he drafted a couple safeties.
But you're going to give at least the guys who drafted another chance by finding another coach to bring them in. And
well, he drafted three of them, because Adrian Amos, too.
Yeah.
Not working out.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Magazoo thing is a bit surprising because of how long he goes back with Fox, and they ran the football well. You know, Ted Larson and when Eric Kush came in, they were more than serviceable backups. And on some plays, they'd even skip a beat in place of Sitton and Kyle Long, who were injured at times. So it'll be interesting to see who they hire and who they bring in. I wonder if it will be a Pace guy. We've seen that before with a Curtis Johnson. That's clearly a Pace guy. So maybe it'll be Pace flexing his muscles a bit more this offseason to find the right coaches that he wants for Fox's staff.
By the way, they didn't really rule out more changes. So it'll be interesting over the next couple of weeks. If guys get offers elsewhere, maybe they, you know. I was always intrigued by Curtis Johnson. I like Curtis Johnson. I think he's very entertaining to watch as a coach. But you wonder sometimes about that intense style, how it impacts players. For the most part, at least what we heard publicly, is wide receivers like him.
But they needed it, too. I think Mike Groh is an outstanding coach.
Very different people, though.
Very different people. I think the Curtis Johnson's arrival was also meant to really test out who and what and how Alshon Jeffrey can be and act as an NFL player. I don't know if they got answers on that.
I don't know either. That'll be very interesting. I did think that was significant how Ryan Pace talked about Alshon, though. He's very complimentary about Alshon Jeffrey. Instead of a lot of times you just hear GMs kind of avoid, especially a guy who might be franchise tag guy again, just kind of avoid the conversation altogether. He was very complimentary about Alshon as a teammate. I think he impressed them as a teammate and a leader this year. I mean, the fact he was voted captain, that was one of maybe the answers they did get this season. Once you have Brandon Marshall gone, once you have Martellus Bennett gone, all those types of guys that were always kind of the vocal guys in the locker room. Alshon's still the quiet guy he's always been, but it was clear that he emerged as more of a leader in that room.
I think a lot of this is on Alshon Jeffrey's camp and what they do this offseason. If they demand or they go after, excuse me, that big money contract they wanted last year, which was a dream. Come on. They weren't going to get it. There was questions about his durability. You can't set a precedent of overpaying a guy who wasn't on the field much. This season kind of helps out the Bears' suspension. The production wasn't there. The guy did not produce whatsoever with Brian Hoyer and Matt Barkley. He didn't prove that he could play with anybody else but Jay Cutler, at least in my opinion. And we know Jay Cutler, his future is in doubt. So let me ask you this. Now, he isn't really saying it, Alshon Jeffrey, but he keeps dropping hints that he strongly wants to return with the Bears, whether it's a Super Bowl prediction.
I thought Monday was pretty significant. When Pat Finley, your colleague, kind of pressed him on, are you going to be on that team that you keep talking about winning the Super Bowl next year? And he said, I think I just answered your question.
Yeah.
That was a pretty significant response. I mean, that's about as close as you can come to saying, I'm coming back next year.
So there's still a level of vagueness, but I think it's a clear hint that I want to make this work. I still like what's going on.
And that's really the first time I've felt. I mean, I think even last week when we talked about this, we were going, this thing might drag on for a really, really long time. I almost have a feeling that they might get this thing worked out.
You know, when he met the media after the Vikings game, and he said, what did he say? It's a business. He went to that old cliche, but it's a business. That was very... The vagueness there was very cryptic, is in terms of, I ain't coming back. I'm going to go get my money.
That's also what his agent wants him to say.
But then I think that changed when pressed again.
Right.
So that's why I think it's...
Maybe when you get past the agent rhetoric and you actually get to what Alshon wants to say about it.
Yes.
Right? When he gets pushed on it. And that's when I think, you know, his Super Bowl prediction, there's like 3,000 retweets on when I tweeted it out.
It went kind of viral.
It got ridiculed everywhere. Yeah. I mean, the guy got crushed over it. But I think buried in the absurdity of the prediction was kind of the subtext of it. That, okay, forget the fact that the Bears, they're not winning the Super Bowl next year, but he kind of wants to be here.
Yeah, he wants to be back. And it's kind of a vibe. Look, no one else was predicting Super Bowl in the locker room in Minnesota or on locker room cleanout day, but the vibe I got from veterans, your team leaders, was that they felt that injuries were such a detriment to this team. They look around their locker room and they see themselves as a much better football team than 3-13. Now, they may not be a playoff team. They're definitely not a Super Bowl team. But they know they're not a 3-13 football team. And what did Darrell Freeman, he kept calling them five-star guys. We got a bunch of five-star guys who can't play every week. And they view themselves as a much better team, and they are quite optimistic about what they can be next year if they can stay healthy.
One more thing I want to hit on before we get out of here, because we touched on the secondary. I thought Ryan Pace's comments on Kyle Fuller were very interesting. Yes, you could easily just dismiss them as a guy trying to pump up Kyle Fuller's trade value, but he kind of went into depth. It wasn't just a short quote where he said, I'm not giving up on him. He did say that, but he went into some detail there about why he said this is a very important offseason for Kyle Fuller, and it would be very beneficial to our organization if he comes back and plays well.
Yes.
Which he's absolutely right about. I have doubts about whether or not that can actually happen, but he wasn't... It didn't just come off as a guy trying to pump up a guy's trade value. It kind of kept the door open a little bit to Kyle Fuller returning, at least to me. When, you know, a few weeks ago, when we went through this whole thing with Kyle not coming back, I thought his time with the Bears was definitely done.
Yeah, I have doubts about whether Fox and Fangio really wanted him back. But I get where Pace is coming from. they have a need in the secondary from cornerback to nickelback to dimeback to safety.
And you have a young former first-round pick on your roster already. Can he play?
Now, I don't think they need him to be the 14th overall pick in terms of talent anymore, because I don't know if he'll ever get to that.
Right, but if he can be a number two and you can go sign a number one.
Yeah, if he can just be draft something.
And then draft, or maybe you draft your number one at number three overall. I mean, all of a sudden, your secondary is a lot better. I don't know what Kyle. I don't know about his ability. I don't know about his health. I don't know about his desire to even be great. That I question too. So it's just too big of a question.
Here's one thing he has that maybe we've only seen in glimpses from a Cravon LeBlanc or Bryce Callahan, two young cornerbacks, and we have not seen at all from the safeties. Kyle Fuller can make plays. He can force fumbles. He can make interceptions. He can get his hands on that football that doesn't belong to him. And that is such an invaluable quality that the Bears kind of need desperately in their secondary right now. And they still see it in him now. Can he come back to what he was a couple of years ago? I don't think they need that again, but they know they need options and depth at cornerback. And Kyle Fuller, at least in Ryan Pace's eyes, he hopes he could be one of them.
All right. Anything else that we should throw in here? Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
Huge opportunity for the Bears. I think it's a huge opportunity. Ryan Pace's eyes lit up talking about this yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he is jacked up. I still don't know how jacked up John Fox is about him. And I can't wait until some random reporter from, Mississippi
asks John Fox, player.
Hey, what do you think about this guy who you've seen for 2 hours? That's going to be great. But.
Oh, it's good to work with them. You know, they're not robots. I can hear it already.
Yeah. Oh, he's a good player. Like him a lot. What a big opportunity, though, for them to get a jump start on. Look, and let's be clear, for those that don't know the Senior Bowl, these are mostly second, third, fourth, fifth round. A lot of guys.
Right.
Some guys don't even get drafted. These are not your top tier juniors. You don't even see them at this event. But it can this event can really help you hit on third, fourth round picks. Dak Prescott's a perfect example last year. The Cowboys weren't even the team coaching him, but the access they got, the extra access they got, I think, Jason Garrett's been pretty obvious about this. He was on the other team, but they saw it up close and personal. They saw this guy's ability.
Yeah.
And they
had more conversations with him, too, than you would get in those 15-minute formal interviews.
It's a clear advantage that the Browns and the Bears have over the rest of the league for 1 week in January to get a jump start on all these guys. And like Ryan said yesterday, they have to take advantage of the opportunity.
I mean, not all teams have taken advantage of it. I think the Jaguars have coached this for forever.
But there's still examples of them hitting on, like, a Telvin Smith, a good linebacker from Florida State that they found. And look, Lovie Smith passed on this opportunity a couple years ago. Didn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm. Bad.
He's now coaching Illinois.
And they're bad.
Which usually sends two or three guys to the Senior Bowl every year.
Yeah. Funny thing. I'm trying to think of Nick Okowski and DeAndre Hall. They were both Senior Bowl picks.
That's where I first saw Hall.
Yeah.
And I go, wow, that guy, intriguing player.
Yeah. Kyle Long is the famous one.
Yeah.
Right?
He really helped his stock there.
Aaron Donald.
Really helped his stock there.
Yes. When Phil Emery saw Kyle, that's where Phil Emery fell in love with Kyle Long. His personality, his hips.
his hips.
So that's where Kyle Long showed off his hips and went over the Bears. So it's very important. So maybe Ryan Pace will see a lot of hips he likes, and we'll have a good Bears team full of good hips.
A lot of good hips.
Sink his hips.
All right. Well, I don't know about our hips, but it's time for us to get out of here. It's been a phenomenal season two. I can't believe we've been doing this for 2 years already. 77 episodes.
Just wait till year three.
We're just like the Bears, right?
Coming at you.
We're building towards year three. That's where we're really going to turn the corner. I'd just like to point out, though, that the Bears' greatest victory of 2016 was the Bears Media Relations Department beating the Bears beat reporters 15-0. Back in Bourbon A, in basketball. I just like to point it. I don't know how I feel about it,
I played last night. We've almost gotten a fist fight.
Really?
Yeah.
At that place in Edison Park?
Yeah, yeah. Feisty game. Took a few elbows.
If you need a guy, let me know.
Don't worry.
I had fun playing with you guys at one time.
I was much better in that game last night than I was in Bourbonnais.
Yeah, you were
much
cold
better.
That day.
I was real cold.
We were all cold. We scored 0 points. Yeah. So,
anyway.
Congratulations to the Bears media relations staff for the most.
That changes in year three.
The most convincing victory of 2016. Yeah, we're coming back to Bourbonnais stronger than ever, just like the Bears are going to claim to be. Thank you to CJ Wilson Mazda, our fine sponsor all year long. Man, it's thinking about driving around that Miata back in Bourbonnais.
Did you say you're going to have that again next year?
I don't know.
Zoom,
I don't
zoom.
Know. We cruising around in our basketball games in the Miata. Thanks to Mike Jacobson, our producer all year long. He gets this thing up posted for you guys real quick. But most importantly, thanks to the listeners. You guys make this podcast happen. We love the interaction all week long on Twitter and your responses to the things we talk about. It's always there, and we appreciate you listening. We built a huge listenership from year one to year two. We hope that continues to grow, and we're still going to be around in the off season. We'll probably be back for the Senior Bowl. That's for our next episode when we're down in Mobile. We'll be at the combine, mm-hmm. like we were last year. We'll be at the owners' meetings. We'll be everywhere. We'll be at the draft. We'll be getting you ready for the draft. We'll do special draft shows. It's all on the table again this off season, and we hope you don't go anywhere. We just won't be pumping out 2 a week during the off season. And thank you to Adam Johns.
Thank you, co-host. Adam Hogue.
You drive up here.
You complete me.
I move farther away from you. We're not down the street like we used to be. So you go out of your way every week to make this thing happen.
Well, House Hall is right down the street.
That's true. No closet episodes this year, though. You did one in the closet, but I wasn't there.
Yeah, I did do one in the closet. That doesn't sound good.
All right. You got to get out of here. We got to get out of here. But season two is in the books. We appreciate everybody. We will talk to you at the Senior Bowl. I'm looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun this year at the Senior Bowl. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us at WGNradio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. And if you haven't already, just subscribe already on iTunes.
Come on.
Intentional Grounding. And if you enjoyed Season 2, please rate and review. Leave a review for the podcast. We appreciate you doing that.
Adam Johns!
That's the highlight of my season.
Kyle Long, Adam Johns' biggest fan.
Best pick I made all year.
All right. And as we leave you for the offseason, this is our motto and our advice to you every day.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
We'll talk to you at the Senior Bowl in a couple weeks.